Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We are back, folks, here at Community Sailing New Orleans, and we're overlooking the Municipal Yacht Harbor. What a great view it is. A beautiful day in New Orleans. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And we've been able to spend a lot of time with the not-for-profit community, and it's really been interesting to hear the stories of the mission and the vision of so many organizations making a difference in the streets of our community each and every day. And in this hour, it's going to be more of the same, which I'm very excited about. I've had the opportunity to talk about this next program quite a bit, the Youth Empowerment Project, and we're joined by Dean Howard, the Chief Development Officer for that organization. And Jay Smith joins us as well from Sales for Sustenance, right?
That's right.
And Dean and Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Dean, if you would, let's start with you. If you would describe the mission and vision of YEP.
Most definitely.
Our listening audience.
Our mission is in our name. Our core purpose, of course, is to empower young people to improve their lives and the lives of others in their community. We do that through four holistic programs: our YEP Mentors program, our Enriches, our Educates, and our Works program. And we are located in five different locations around the greater New Orleans area, including St. Charles Parish, impacting about 1,000 people annually, all free of charge to all participants.
Now, you guys are heavily involved in the educational side, right? And I think y'all do a lot of STEM work, is correct?
That correct? Well, we have our HISET program, which, of course, in Louisiana, it's been called GED for quite a while, but now it's called HISET, and it's when you get your high school diploma. Now, I always say it's open for kids age 16 to 70. We actually have two locations.
I'm in that category. I'm in the kid part of the 70s.
I'm in the mid category as well. I'll admit that part. But the great thing is we do have opportunity for individuals who have either just left the traditional school setting and either decided that that's not their route, or we have people who have actually been homeschooled and want to take advantage of our HISET program as well. So we run the gambit. Last year, we had our largest graduating class of 142 people, which was incredible.
That's awesome.
We almost doubled from the year before. We are located in Broad and Algiers and in New Orleans East. So we have lots of key strategically placed locations where people can take advantage of the opportunity.
Has YEP collaborated with this organization here with the community?
We are open. Actually, we were just talking about different opportunities to get youth involved, and I think that's the great thing is collaboration is a big, huge a part of what YEP does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything from the 18th Ward to Strong City and other nonprofits where we could basically combine forces and take advantage of each other's resources and their strengths.
Now, I know that NOLA Coalition is a big fan, and y'all have been very proactive in that.
Most definitely. In fact, we're actually partnering with Rusevich Family Foundation on a future luncheon coming up in next May, where we'll be working together a little bit more hand-in-hand as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jay, if you would, Sales for Sustenance, tell us about the mission and vision of that organization.
Well, basically, we collect old sails and rope, other items from the sailors. Sails are like tires on a car. They, you know, are good. People replace their sails pretty often.
A little more expensive, but yeah.
Yeah. But they still have a life. Yeah. You know, there's still some life left in the sails when we get them. And we bring them down to Haiti and distribute them to sustenance fishermen down there. And it makes a huge difference to them. It has a huge impact. If they, you know, I mean, they use dugout canoes to fish in. Yeah. These are the oldest form of autograph known to man. if they don't have the sails, they don't have motors. They actually don't even have paddles. They'll have to paddle out by hand.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder how.
Exactly. And, you know, they can get out 100 yards overfished and a lot of work. When they get these sails, they can go out 5, 10 miles, even all day. And yeah. It just makes a huge difference.
So it makes it a lot easier for them to gather their bounty for their respective villages that they're trying to feed, right?
Absolutely. One of my funny stories about that is that I've been down there with Guy quite often. And we would be walking along and somebody would come scooting by in some kind of motor scooter or whatever, by even a bicycle. One would be driving and the other would be sitting on the back with a big fish.
Yeah.
And he was headed to the village to feed people.
No, it's true. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, but when you see it, you believe it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible the challenges that many of those folks, and the level of poverty is, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's not describable and not thing that's that not in any way understood by anybody that lives in this country.
Yeah.
The connections between Haiti and New Orleans, though, are really quite significant. It is diverse. It's a diverse nation. It's predominantly black and African-American slave oriented, you know, from the beginning. But it's every family here that I know. My son, his mother had a relative from Haiti.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's a strong connection historically.
Absolutely.
When we, what is your, as it relates to YEP, you guys have been consistently growing every year. I mean, the impact that you're making on the community, you probably, in many respects, a victim of your own success over the years, right? Because you're always trying to provide more efficiently and otherwise. What's the biggest Correct. Challenge for you guys now?
I think right now what we're seeing is, of course, with food insecurity and different opportunities or different things that are happening economic-wise with individuals, is we want to make sure that when we grow, we're growing holistically in a strategic way. We don't want to outreach ourselves and then have to pull ourselves back and disappoint either those individuals or those communities that we're working in. I think that's one thing that Melissa and the team has done great since I came on board, and hopefully will continue to do on in that direction, is really thinking long and hard and putting our strategic plan, which we just finished our five-year strategic plan, in place, and making sure that we're growing in a smart way. Our New Orleans East was our most recent expansion, and that's mainly about 2 years ago, but that was really knowing that New Orleans East was an underserved area that had struggled and continues to struggle since Katrina and coming back. Food deserts, education
deserts. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about that for a moment. People don't, you know, the people hear this term food desert. I don't think they totally comprehend what that actually means. So describe that for us.
Sure. I mean, we're located on Haines Boulevard, and where we think we're centrally located, we have to take into account what schools are close by, what's on the bus system, what's easily accessible. When it comes to a food desert side of it, you may have one location grocery store, but is it a Walmart? Is it a Rouse's? Is it centrally located where people can actually get to it on a bus line? And is it walkable? Is it easy to get to for an entire family? And a lot of times it isn't. And New Orleans is one, or New Orleans East is one of the largest locations, of course, in Greater New Orleans. And I think people don't realize how many young people actually live in that area. It's one of the, if not the largest, youth-oriented area or youth-populated areas in the city. And that's one reason why the Youth Empowerment Project went out there 2 years ago with the support of Entergy, which helped us kick that off. And the main reason why is that we knew that the resources had to be out there. Not only that, but it's the only location of Youth Empowerment Project that has all four programs under one roof, which is fantastic because we really hit the young people from 7 years old and above, like I mentioned, up 7 to 70, so the entire family can come out and take advantage of our resources.
So the interesting thing that's kind of mystifying is that it has become the most affordable place to live in the city of New Orleans because it is, in fact, in the midst of a food desert, right? You don't have the big grocery store chains that are located out there. You have a lot of the convenience stores that people are compelled to shop at, and we all know that the price on a product at a convenience store is far greater than it is at a chain grocery
Correct.
Store.
And it may not be the healthiest either.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and there's not a wide selection of food items available.
Correct, 100%. And then we also have to take into account, are there opportunities for people who may have children who are trying to get their high set? So we actually have a NEST program, which is an opportunity to have child care free of charge at our New Orleans East Opportunity Center. So it, again, we're trying to remove all of those barriers and basically make it, I always pretty much say, we don't have no in our vocabulary, in that sense of, like, if this is a barrier for you, we want to make sure that that barrier is either moved out of the way, or we can support you in some way, shape, or form temporarily so that you can get the resources that you need.
Yeah. And it's great. I'm really moved by today, the collaborative effort that goes on amongst the not-for-profit, you know, organizations helping each other out. You know, your segment that you're of the population that you're helping, there's another organization that can provide a little nuance to what you're offering. And it's not often that I've been amongst the, you know, a multitude of groups together collaborating and talking about how they can help one another.
I really have to say that goes to the New Orleans nonprofit community. I've been a nonprofit pre and post Katrina since I've been here for over 20 years now. And seeing New Orleans nonprofits realize that we can't compete against each other, or you can, but you're not going to get much accomplished. But if you collaborate and you really work hand in hand with each other, you can really continue to grow and stabilize your organization and other organizations in New Orleans.
Truly strengthen numbers, 100%. No doubt about it, right? And I'm sure it's the same when
Absolutely.
when you're helping folks internationally or outside the borders of the United States, right?
Yeah. We just recently had a fundraiser that we put on out here. To move an orphanage that was in Port-au-Prince up to the northern part where the kids will be safe and not recruited.
It's a lot more stable on the northern side.
Right. The schools are open, and it's where their gang areas are. It's about a third of the country in the center, separating the south from the north. But the kids, they you know, going to school, getting medical care, all things we take for granted, just were not available.
Yeah,
in the gang controlled areas. So
when you describe what you do amongst the folks in the sailing community, how receptive are they?
Very. We were amazed. Our first donation, we started doing this again, Guy's idea, and we started doing it, and we immediately got 100 donations.
Oh, wow.
And it's the biggest problem I have is storage. So,
yeah, people don't realize how expensive the sail material is,
right?
And the durability of it, which may not be good for, you know, for racing if it's a racing vessel, right. But it works fine on a leisure.
Yeah, those guys will get miles out of it. It goes on and on down there. So, and they use roofs and flooring and all sorts of other things.
Oh, yeah. Their imagination is far greater than mine would ever
Absolutely.
Be, right, as to the utilization of some of the resources that are made available to them, because it's the only way they can survive.
That's true.
You know, it's got to be difficult when you go to Haiti. Mm.
Yeah, well,
on the one hand, on the same,
it is and it isn't. So it is always an adventure. We have to arrange security and so on. Yeah. Something I have a background in, so it's not impossible. We make connections, and so we're just to keep everybody that goes with us safe. So there's that aspect, and on arrival, it's a little intimidating, but we are treated. Really, there are more parties than we can go to. They so appreciate what we do and the different things that we will engage in. We get involved in these other projects that they're really quite receptive to us. And you know, they treat us very well. And it's a historic place, too. There's a lot of beauty, a lot of similarity to New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, so there's those connections. And so it's not...
I met a friend through a friend whose church rebuilt a church there, and since I've met them, they've rebuilt the church 3 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tragic. You know, between the gang warfare and what's going on there with the instability of the government and just on and on and on. And every time I see him, it's like, please don't tell me you had to rebuild the church again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, you see a lot of religious groups that when you're traveling down there, when you're flying down there or flying back, they do, you know, and they struggle. A lot of it is very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, Jay Smith, Sales for Sustenance, and Dean Howard, Chief Development Officer at the Youth Empowerment Project, thank you so much for visiting with us today. We truly appreciate it. We appreciate everything that you guys are doing. Y'all are difference makers in the community, no doubt about that. And we're so happy that, you know, Guy Williams has given us this opportunity to meet so many incredible people doing the hard work each and every day. Congratulations. Definitely. And happy holidays.
All right. Thank you. You too.
They're
thank
upon
you.
Us already.
It is.
I don't know about y'all. I'm not
Mardi
ready. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We have had a great opportunity to meet so many different folks with different not-for-profit organizations, and we have two that we're going to visit with now. Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward, as well as Dr. Arnell Cosey, Strategy and Impact Officer for Clover, which was formerly known as Kingsley House.
That's
that
right.
Everybody remembers.
That's right.
Those name changes are a little bit tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Lowry, let's start with you. You have an incredible program, a big program. I've had the opportunity to talk to you quite a few times on air. Always excited to hear about the impact that you're making with kids. So give us a state of the 18th Ward.
Well, we're 6 years in, and I still haven't been able to get rid of our wait list. So each season we roll out new programs at new locations around the city, and we still have a wait list. So the demand is really high. Families want their kids in a safe environment with, you know, just having fun and in a safe environment. And so our goal is to just continue growing and providing those services. And when we see barriers, whether it's cost or transportation, try to knock those barriers down so that our kids can be kids and have fun and then develop into the strong leaders that our city needs. All of our youth programs are youth-led. So I'm really proud of the leadership development from our high school and college students. I love watching them lead our young people in whatever sport they choose, whether it's swimming or flag football. And that's actually how Arnell and I met, through a leadership development program with DeMario Davis and Devoted Dreamers. So there's some good collaboration here on and off the air.
Gotcha.
I love that. And, I've heard about it, but I haven't really seen it. I watched everyone today, you know, talking and sharing ideas. And Arnell, I mean, I guess, this community, we really do punch above our weight in the not-for-profit world like we do, you know, on so many different fronts. So give us a little bit of the state of Clover.
Sure. Well, in January of 2026, Clover will begin celebrating its 130th year in this city, providing services to children and families in the community. And we do that through five overarching programs, which are early learning services, which is Head Start, Early Head Start, our adult day health care program, residential engagement, which is our partnership with Columbia Park and River Garden, youth services, and of course, Career Connections, which is our workforce development program.
When did y'all go through the name change?
We did that in 2021.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was still calling you Kinsley House.
It slips for people every now and then. You know, at the time, we were 125 years, so it's hard to forget that old name. Yeah. It takes a little time to get used to something new. So
yes, it does.
Yeah, we're giving everybody a little grace on that.
I guess you have to be one of the longest serving not-for-profits in the city.
Oh, I would imagine so, with 130 years. You know, yeah. We're very proud of our rich history here. We are actually the second largest, I think, Head Start program in the state, probably the first or second to open our adult day health care program. We just celebrated 50 years in service probably about 2 years ago. And so, yeah, when you've been around that long, you're a first in a lot of different areas.
Lowry, to you, there's been a lot of, I don't know how to describe it, but uncertainty about the future of Nord. There has been a lot of folks that really would like 18th Ward to step in and take it under your umbrella. You know, that's a big undertaking. But I'm encouraged by some of the new leadership. We're going to have a new council, a new mayor-elect. To me, I think, although it's an overused term, but I think it's appropriate in this case, it's a defining moment for this city right now. You know, when you come on the heels of finding out that you have a $160 million deficit, math has no emotion. Math does not lie. It is what it is. And only we collectively can change it, right?
I think the key there is collectively. We believe deeply in this collective impact model. These are not 18th Ward kids. These are New Orleans kids, and they need all of us. They need to go to Head Start at Clover. They need athletic opportunities with the 18th Ward or Nord. We've been a Nord partner for the last couple years, and we want to expand that partnership. Because I think we need to do this together if we want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many great nonprofits here today, including Community Sailing, and everyone offers unique services, unique perspectives, and kids should be able to choose which nonprofit or which program partner they want to work with. So I'm hopeful I get to participate on one of the mayor's transition committees for youth and families. There's a great group of leaders on there, so I'm excited to learn from some of them and hear their ideas and contribute some of my own. I do think we need to implement some changes, and I think we can achieve some positive results.
Yeah, as long as we keep the focus on the kids.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what's
important. You know, what's interesting is that there's no governmental entity, no agency that stand alone that has the assets or resources necessary to address the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you focus immediately on collective, that's so near and dear to my heart that we recognize that it's going to take all of us working together instead of at odds with one another to get it done.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think when we're talking about it's collective and it's collaborative, that is really at the heart of, I think, how Clover has been able to sustain itself and be a great partner in this community for 130 years. All of the work we've done has never been on our own. It's always been finding partners such as the 18th Ward and all of the other partners we bring to the table to fill the niche, right? Because our overarching goal is to serve children and families, and they need more than what we can provide in the classroom through Head Start. They need more than what we can provide in adult day health care program. So it's very important that we identify the partners who have a shared mission and that really want to come together and uplift these families.
You know, with the state of the economy today, we have record number deficits at the federal level. Mm-hmm. We know what that's going to mean, right? We've been through this before. We have a similar situation working at the state. You know, they're going through their own DOGE process, and now we're in the city facing this $160 million deficit. That just increases the challenge that each one of the individual organizations has. And the only way I think that we succeed is going back to, you know, that collective and collaboration. Yeah. It just makes perfect sense.
It's not even just a matter of just the funding, like you say, Newell. It's also the collective thinking, the diversity in thinking and thoughts on how do we do what it is we're setting out to do and do it at a level that really meets the goal or helps us achieve what it is we're trying to. And I think when you bring all of these organizations together around that, you have benefits. We're not going to have the money we need to do it independently. And if we did, why would we want to do it that way?
Yeah. I think that nonprofits know better than anyone how to stretch a dollar. I think that those of us who have been operating year after year and serving more and more families have had to become very efficient with our resources. And so I know the deficit is big, but I know there's still money available in the budget. Mm-hmm. And I think we, if they're willing to listen, if the leadership of the departments are willing to listen, I think nonprofit leaders have some good ideas for how we can make the most of our city's resources.
Spending smart, right?
We've developed a model, and I'd put it up against any in the country, the amount of money we spend per kid for the services that we provide. Sports can be very expensive, and oftentimes that's the reason why kids don't participate. But we've been able to knock down those costs so that it's not a barrier to participation. And I think we can do that in other ways across the city, not just with sports.
I guess both of you would agree that I think early onset, it would be good for everybody to really get involved with this new administration, to have these these conversations, this dialogue created, because it just seems to me that oftentimes we kind of get stuck, and we're not looking at the real priorities. You know, we're not setting them in the appropriate fashion. Everybody has a belief, whether it's ideological or otherwise, that I think we should spend the money over here, or no, I think we should spend it over here. And a lot of times we don't look at what's working. And how operationally can we become more efficient by creating these relationships?
And what are the goals? I mean, I think Arnell could probably tell you roughly how many kids are in Head Start and how many need to be in Head Start. So we need to be pushing towards that goal and allocating resources to meet that. I can tell you how many kids in the city are under the age of 24, and that's about 100,000 kids. And I know that not even 50% of them are physically active on a daily basis. They don't have programming in their neighborhood or in an accessible place. And so, this collective impact starts with collective goals. What are those goals? How can we direct the resources to reach those goals? And how can we look at ourselves in the mirror in 1, 2, 4 years and say, we put our money into these efforts to drive towards these goals, and did we meet them or not? Where do we need to course correct along the way?
Yeah, we talked about collective impact, and we've talked about collaboration, and I think the other C word is compromise, because when we come to the table around those goals, we have to be willing to give a little bit. You can't come to negotiate or to be a partner in a partnership, if you will, without understanding that you got to give a little bit. Right? We all have to have some piece of that pie, and there's got to be some win-win solutions that we can all agree on if we are going to move forward.
Well, if everyone comes with a zero-sum mindset, no one wins.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it's self-defeating in so many different ways. When I was sheriff, I always had a principle that I provided funding for. I always thought Head Start programs and aftercare programs are where it's all at.
It's where it's all at for the community. You hear us talk about it a lot. It's not just that you're allowing the kids to get started right so that they're successful in their education moving forward, but it's also, as we like to remind people, it's also a part of economic development for the city. If we don't have a really good Head Start programs or safe places for families, adults to leave their kids, you're talking about affecting the workforce in the city, right? Businesses can't operate, and you get the rest of the story. So having young kids in high quality, not child care, but in academic situations, is very important to all of us in this community.
Academic and athletics. I mean, it's part of the aftercare, making sure that they get the opportunity. I love what you do with the kids actually leading the kids. Because our kids, I believe, are not necessarily the leaders of tomorrow, but they can very much be the leaders of today.
There you go.
When you think about peer pressure and everything that goes along with that, and having good young kid role models.
I think it's one of our city's greatest unlimited resources, our kids. They're very talented, and we need to make sure that they have opportunities to shine and develop, because I can go across all 17 wards of our city and see the most dynamic young leaders, and some of them are 15 years old.
Oh yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they achieve over their lifetime. And we look at our five-year-olds not because we think they're going to be the next NBA player. We look at them, they're going to be the next junior NBA coach in the 18th ward. Yeah. And so it's about developing that confidence and that leadership in them, and I think it's going to be a key to our city's future.
There's one thing I know for sure, that as I am in the midst of the fourth quarter of my life, is that this is the dummy phase of my life, because when I look at these kids, they're so much smarter than I was at that age. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what they're exposed to, right?
Yep, yeah. Way more opportunities than we had when we were coming up. I always try to tell people we can use technology for good. Everybody talks a lot about young people having their heads buried, but we need to show them what to do with it and not complain about them using it.
Yeah.
I learn from our kids every day, and I think that's how we've adapted and evolved over the last 6 years. What do our kids want? What do our kids need? And how can we use sports and workforce programming to provide that?
Well, thank you all so much for joining us, engaging. I love that we were able to talk about this kind of in the abstract, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's separate and about your respective organizations, because I think it's really important for the community to gain a better understanding about the not-for-profit industry as a whole and the role that they play, because government resources are extremely limited. And the one way that we invest in ourselves is to make sure that we have a vibrant nonprofit community, to backfill so many services that government itself can't provide.
Agreed. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about Clover. It's been my pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward, as well as Dr. Arnell Cozy with Clover. She is the strategy and impact officer there. That was formerly Kingsley House, folks, just in case you didn't know.
That's right.
Thank y'all. Have a great holiday season.
You as
thank
well.
You.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. And when we come back, we'll wrap this up with Guy Williams, president and CEO of Gulf Coast Bank. Stay with us, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Folks. Welcome back, folks. This has been a great day. We've had a huge opportunity to visit with so many folks, and Guy, I want to thank you for that. And we are joined by Darren Meyer. Thank you. I've known Darren for a long, long time. He's with the Zulu organization. Y'all run a youth program there as well. So why don't we take this opportunity for you to talk about the mission and vision of that program?
Sure. We have the Junior Zulus, which are kids age 14 to 18. We provide exposing them to the community, financial literacy. We take them on field trips. We do a lot of, they have a self-governing arm where they're actually policing themselves and trying to show them how to be good citizens, a lot of community service. But just being part of this today was great because we want to get them out here to teach them also how to sail.
Yeah. I mean, and I love that collaborative effort, you know, between this organization and not-for-profit, having these assets and resources and being able to share with so many other organizations.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that Darren could be here because we talk about nonprofits and what they do, but we also need to remember New Orleans is about the culture. And, I mean, what's more culture bearer than the Zulu organization?
Yes, yes, yes. And we're glad for this opportunity as well. We're looking to expose our kids. Zulu is a Mardi Gras organization, but we operate 365 days a year, and this is the other arm of us. And it's good to mentor our youth.
Darren, how old are the kids that participate in the
14
program?
To 18.
14
to 18.
That's
the ages.
Yeah.
And they all get scholarships from Zulu to go to college after they finish the program.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
And how many graduates do y'all usually have out of the
usually
program?
Usually have about four or five each year.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. I wasn't aware of that program.
Yeah, we're trying to expose it more and more. You know, we started off with some younger kids, and we realized we needed to catch them a little older, and try to expose them a little bit more to before they do some other things in life.
Well, Guy, this has been a great opportunity. Thank you so much for allowing us to participate in this, and so many great people that we got to meet today. And it just seems like they're all aligning, too. And those that have been able to access what y'all have here with Community Sailing New Orleans, they're so excited about it, and they can't wait to make it, you know, their participation grow.
Yeah, we're really encouraged. This is going to be the first year we'll be able to run all of our programs and to be able to let all the different nonprofits know what we do and also just for the other nonprofits to share with each other. So really thrilled to have this day just to thank people for the efforts that they make.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an ongoing concern, one in which y'all have not availed yourself of government money. It's been private donations and, you know, keeping it going.
Yeah, this is all volunteer, all donations. And so this is something that people have thought was important, and they've really committed to. And I want to say one thing before Darren leaves. Louis Armstrong was interviewed by his biographer and said, well, out of all the honors you've had, what was the greatest? Being King of Zulu.
King of Zulu, that's correct.
Yeah, and he impacted a lot of folks' lives with his music. In fact, his song is one that my wife and I danced to.
No kidding. My daughter and I danced to that at her wedding.
Exactly. And I think probably a couple of million others.
Sure. Exactly. Well. Sure. All who have good taste.
So what's the story of the pig, Guy?
Okay. We bought a streetcar, and we were going to use that for different public relations events. So we did a commercial, and we had two guys walking down the street, an old guy and a young guy. And the old guy said, well, you know, I don't believe that banks care. And the young guy says, no, my bank actually cares. And the old man says, I'll believe that when pigs fly. So we had flying pigs over the Superdome, and they landed on the streetcar. Well, we thought the streetcar was the purpose of the ad, but everybody loved the flying pig. So from then on, we've had
the flying pig stayed.
Yep.
I love it. And of course, it married up well with Hogs for the Cause,
from
what I understand.
Absolutely. Right? We're one of the big supporters of that, and it's a natural tie-in.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. We've had a great time. We've had the opportunity to meet a lot of great people that are making a difference in our community, the place that we call home, and it's so very important that not-for-profit community remain vibrant to backfill on so many of the things that government just can't provide.
Oh, I agree completely, and just great to honor people that are working so hard to make this place better.
Yep, absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll check in with Scoot, who's headed your way on Free for All Friday. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up on Free for All Friday, Scoot?
Well, we've got a couple of guests in our studio. One of them actually might make your life better, so imagine learning something from our show. That would be cool. We'll talk about LSU and Tulane and a couple of the big NFL games this weekend, and it is Free for All Friday.
Scoot's headed your way. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.